I was working for an organisation called a Business Enterprise Centres down in the Katanning area, Tambala. And my role there was to assist people to start up new businesses, to assist in business planning, marketing planning, accessing government dollars, those sorts of things. So it was just a general go-to about business. It's interesting because of the thrust this week on succession planning, but the majority of the people who came to me about new businesses were doing so, and most of them were ladies, who were married to sons of farmers, and there was no succession plan as to whether their husbands were going to get handed the farm, sold the farm, kicked off the farm, or whatever else. And these ladies were concerned that they had their children approaching high school age and going away, and they didn't know whether they're going to be able to afford to send them away if they didn't have a farm or a source of current income to do so. So they would come and say, well, you know, we want to start up XYZ business for this reason. And I got to thinking, well, that's a bit crazy, you know. We need succession planning. And so through the network, I made inquiries as to whether there was an introductory manual document, whatever else, that would get people to thinking about, yes, we could or we should be getting involved in succession planning. And we couldn't find anything basic.
And what year are we talking about, or what period was this, Bob?
2000 to 2003, in that time. And any time I ever asked a question of departmental people or anybody who I thought might have had an answer, it was, oh, accountants do that or solicitors do that.
Mm-hmm.
But the accountant doesn't drop to talk to the young lady who's the daughter-in-law of a farmer who doesn't talk about succession planning. You know, those people come in at a later time.
What were some of the situations that you were seeing as a result of not having a succession plan for farming or for business in general?
Look, things like people in their 50s, farmers who were running farms, but still couldn't sign a check. You know, father or mother had to sign or co-sign a check to a 50-odd-year-old son who was doing all the management of the setup. People who are in their late 70s, you know, have 60, 50 and 60-year-old children who still don't get much of a say. I mean, very much secondary. And then you have the third generation really are in a position of being able at age 25 to 30 to run the place themselves, and can see two generations of conflict in front of them and say, well, gee, you know, am I going to stay here or am I going to go and do my own thing? It worried me that in business situations, like the local engineering firm or whatever, the plan seems to be there because it's seen as a business. And so, oh, yeah, we got to do that. We got to sell it. We got to lease it. We got to rent it, whatever else. But in farms and other family businesses, emotion and tradition and all sorts of things seem to get in the way.
In this booklet, which does focus on how to take the first few steps, what do you see as the most important factors to consider and, I guess, to work on when you're trying to take that first step of having that conversation about succession planning?
Just a recognition that there's a need. You know, you recognise it, even if you don't accept it necessarily, but if you just recognise that it's there. I guess a recognition of what you want, because not all children of farmers want to be farmers. It's the basic communication, though, isn't it? If you don't communicate at whatever level about whatever subject, then there's questions, there's conflict, there's whatever else.